You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. Career shifts are often dramatic, but how about moving from designing science centers and focusing on education to becoming a novelist? Both involve creativity, but the similarities might seem to end there. Phoenix resident Sheila Grinnell is the former head of the Arizona Science Center. She was also a leader of the New York Hall of Science and the Exploratorium in San Francisco. Her previous books include A Place for Learning Science. Her new novel is called Appetite, and she joins me now. Sheila, welcome. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So putting together a novel for a lot of people involves a lot of frustration, a lot of trial and error. What made you initially want to do this, and then what made the final product actually come about? You actually stuck with it and actually have a book.
Right. I didn't know I wanted to do it, but I did know that I was done making science centers. 40 years is a long time, and it was fabulous. I loved it. I got completely involved in it for a long time, but, you know, enough's enough. And I knew I needed a change, but I didn't know what to, and then there was a catalyst. It's always a catalyst. Yeah. I'm a scientist. Mm-hmm. My mother had a stroke, and she was living back east with my sister, so I would fly back to see what was going on. And she gradually lost her words and her sense of herself. I remember going back, it was April, and I said to her, "Mom, would you like me to tell you your life story? I don't think you know." And she said, "Yes, I'd like that." So I told her her life story. It took about 45 minutes. I cleaned it up. And I finished, and I said, "Did you enjoy that?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you won't remember, but I'll tell you again." So then my May trip, I said, "Would you like me to tell your story?" And she said, "Yes." But she couldn't pay attention for 45 minutes. So I divided it into little chunks. And that was cool. So we're into June now, and she couldn't string the chunks together. And it was like somebody stabbed me with a knife in my belly. I said, "I have to write her story." So I did. And I found help. I found somebody at ASU who'd give me some editing on it. And then I sent it to a couple of friends of mine who had parents who were in those similar circumstances. And that was fine. But what I discovered is that I wanted to write more. And I wound up, fast forward about a year after my mother's death, I wound up at one of the Maricopa Community Colleges, Phoenix College, taking writing classes. And they were wonderful. And the college, it was so different to be in community college than to be running a science center or developing a science center or raising money to run a science center. So I loved the atmosphere, and I took more classes. And I was in my third short story class, and I'm looking at the story in front of me, and I say, "It's too big. It won't fit in 20 pages. And the guy sitting next to me said, "So write a novel." And I went, "Okay." So I began to write Appetite in 2009. I'm still working. I had left the Science Center, but I was consulting. And by 2013, I thought I had finished my first draft. And I went to a development editor who was also from Phoenix College. And I said, "Is this a book or not? Is it just a bunch of scenes?" And she said, "Well, it's a book, but you've made a mistake." I wrote the history, the backstory chapters in the same voice as the main chapters. Right. But she said, no. Backstory is different. You need more distance. You need more expansiveness. You need more history. Rewrite them. So I rewrote 8 chapters. They turned into 6. Mm. And then I thought I really was done. And I gave the book, the manuscript, to beta readers. Those are people who have an expertise who can look at it for you. So there's a scientist in the book. I gave it to a scientist. And there's a East Indian guru. I gave it to my acupuncturist. She knows a lot about East Indian philosophy. And there's 2 generations. I gave it to a friend who's, you know, has children at the mm-hmm. appropriate distance apart. And then I gave it to the husband of one of my writing partners because I needed a man's point of view. And after they commented, I put it all together again. And then I went out looking for an agent, then I went out looking for a publisher, and then here we are.
So a 6-year process about.
6-year process. I am writing number 2, and number 2 is going much faster.
Don't want to wait another 6 years.
It's not going to take another 6 years, because now I know what I'm doing. There's no shortcut to writing. You've mm-hmm. just got to write, and you've just got to make mistakes, and you just got to keep doing it. And you have to really want to keep doing it, because it takes a lot of work.
Now, because I know you as someone who ran the Science Center, I mean, that's where we crossed paths years ago, Are there certain qualities? Are you someone who is somehow able to use both sides of your brain in ways that others aren't? Because if you have an expertise in science, one would think, well, writing the novel, it should be a struggle. And in fact, are you even going to get through it? So you're able to do both of those things. Did any of your experience with the science part of your brain help push this book forward?
Absolutely. Science is a creative act when you're really doing it. I remember in college, I went to college, I thought I was going to be a math major because I loved math. But they put me in a fancy physics class, and I didn't really like electricity and magnetism. And I thought, well, you know, there go my plans. I don't know what I'm doing. I have to go home. And somebody said to me, well, what do you like? I said, well, I like my English composition class. And they said, well, major in English. So I did. And it was senior year. I'm walking across the campus, and I have this epiphany that what I liked about math and what I liked about poetry were the same thing. Each was a universe, and it had operations, and you could learn them, and you could move, manipulate within them. And if you were really, really good, you could jump out of the box. And I realized it was about learning, it was about structure, it was about creativity. And wasn't I lucky that I had thought about both?
It's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix talking with Sheila Grinnell. Her new novel is called Appetite, but we know more about Sheila from her past as the person who ran the Arizona Science Center. And to that end, Sheila, we just have a couple minutes left. I want to get into that a little bit because how important do you think it is with the science centers you help design and run? What sort of position, what sort of key is that in getting young people and older people alike more interested in science? Do we need to have these hands-on exhibits? Do we need people to see things in action? How much does that make it come alive for people so that they're not quite as intimidated by science?
We need it. We need all the time. We need as many as we have. We need as many TV shows, radio shows. We need everybody to talk about science. It's so important to be able to understand what's true and what's not true. If you look at graphs in the newspaper or online and you see this looks like a huge difference, but they haven't given you the baseline. So you don't know, really know, am I looking at a big difference or not? I mean, if you say the Dow Jones drops 100 points, it makes a, if it's at 17,000, that's different than if it's at 7,000. And it was 7,000 when I first came to Phoenix 23 years ago. So we need it. And people have different ways of interacting with the world. Different. You don't know what's going to turn somebody on, whether they want a word, whether they want an explanation, whether they want to touch things, whether they want to be convinced that the real world really responds to them in some way. So, yes, we have to keep getting people interested in science.
But briefly, I want to ask you about this, because one exhibit that I experienced with you a number of years ago was Grossology. There's also a current one now about giant bugs and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And to some people, that might feel like, well, you're making light of it. It's silly. It's whatnot. But do you think that, in fact, leads people to studying science in a more serious way?
Of course it does, because you never know what's going to capture somebody's, especially a young person's, mind. I remember my son being little and going to an exhibit where you use a magnet to pull on a TV screen. Now, that doesn't happen anymore because we have different kinds of TV screens. But you pull apart the three different colors. And later on, when he was here, I think it was at Cocopa, middle school, and he was learning about an octopus which can change the color of its skin. And it also has red, green, and blue pixels in its skin. And he said, well, I remember from the TV, but I don't know how the octopus turns them on. He could take the octopus into biology classes and into environmentalism. You could take it anywhere. And it was that experience that got him started.
Sheila Grinnell is the author of the new novel, Appetite. She's also well known for running the Arizona Science Center. Sheila, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.